you in the 06010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. It is Thursday, November 5th. Field Yates, Mike Clay, Daniel Dopp, and Stefania Bell getting you ready for the 49ers and Packers game tonight, which will be played, plus a bunch of news, some injury updates, and wide receiver cornerback matchups as we always do on Thursday. But good morning to all of you first before we get to the football. Hello, Michael.
Hello, good morning.
Back-to-back days. You are a tolerant man for being with me for back-to-back days.
Yeah, this is rough. I mean, 2 days in a row, you would know nothing about that, right? Back-to-back, you know.
I don't play back-to-backs. Load management. Yeah. I'm like Kawhi Leonard.
This is nothing for you. I
mean, Stefania Bell is here as well. Good morning, Stefania.
Good morning.
Good to see you again after seeing you yesterday, Stefania. Yeah.
That's right. Stefania remains here.
We still have a little bit disappointed. We still need to address.
You want to do it
how
now?
How you handled my absence yesterday.
Are you prepared to do it right now or
yesterday?
No?
I could have sworn you were here. Yeah.
I was going to say, Twitter saw it.
No. I'm so focused on the actual work that I have to do for the show that I have no ammo to fight you with right now.
Yeah.
But it will come. Uh-huh. Maybe when you least expect it.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, we have been put on notice. Yeah, watch out.
She's sitting right behind me, you know, so I'm a little scared now.
I can't see your blind spot.
So.
Yeah,
I'm your bodyguard for
all right,
the rest of the show.
You give me a heads up, right?
I did go to my boxing workout this morning. I hit a lot of things.
Wow. You're on edge right now.
I took out a lot of my aggression already before I saw you guys. You're in luck.
It's not even a Matthew day.
You know what? I could tell Stefania was riding high because behind the curtain here for a second, Stefania walked into the studio, sunglasses on. Sunglasses at night, all-time great song. And Stefania just walking in, like, not to be bothered at all.
Nope.
She had a dog in her purse. Yep. I mean, it was like the whole nine here.
Looking like
Stefania.
A baller.
Yeah.
Suede jacket.
Yeah.
Wow.
Leather boots.
Must be nice to be Stefania Bell.
All
the rest of us just showed up with a, you know, regular old attire. Let's get into some updates, Stefania. And because it's 2020, we start the show with some COVID-19 updates. There was a league call on Tuesday. I believe you may have been on that call.
I was on that call.
I've been on many of these
COVID-19 updates, and I do appreciate that they have them regularly because we have many questions every time we hear news. And the purpose of the Tuesday call was not only to update about the players who had recently been placed on the list, but some protocol changes, modifications, really. There are a couple things that I think are just important for people to know because they may see them in play when they watch games. So the bench area has been expanded to run from the 20 to the 20. I believe it was the 30 to the 30 before. And the idea is to increase social distancing possibilities with the benches. So there will not be chairs, but they are going to expand the benches with the idea that they can hopefully have players and personnel sit further away from each other. They are also strongly encouraging players, even players who are actively playing in the game, when they come off the field, to wear masks. In other words, to put them on and remove them only when they go back into the field of play. Now, that's a strong recommendation, not a requirement, but they're hoping people engage in that. But after games, and actually before games as well, pre- and post-game interactions, players and staff are now required to wear masks. So when the game is over, if you want to go shake hands, talk to another player, the mask needs to be on. And part of that is based on the learnings that they have acquired as they've gone through the course of the season so far. You know, one point Dr. Sills, who's the chief medical officer of the NFL, wanted to make was that part of the reason when they make a decision to postpone a game is because they either fear that there is a transmission that is still active, that is something that is still going on. They don't want to put the whole club at risk of exposure or certainly expose another team, or that they don't know the origin source of whoever is the latest positive test. But when they have been able to identify the source, their goal is to, and his quote, wall off the virus. And that's why they have developed this category of high-risk close contacts. Those are players and personnel who are not necessarily testing positive themselves, but they are deemed a high risk, being more vulnerable because of their exposure to the individual who did test positive. So when you hear us talk about high-risk close contacts, they have been deemed more at risk and therefore they are removed and have to be away from the facility for at least 5 days since their exposure to the positive individual.
A lot to chew on there, but certainly the NFL continues to do its best to navigate this very tricky and trying season. And you just mentioned high-risk close contact, Stefania, if I'm not mistaken, a pair of very notable players, amongst several others, but notable in the fantasy realm, may fall into that category, including the Lions' starting quarterback.
Right. Matthew Stafford yesterday was identified. He was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, identified as a high-risk close contact to someone who is not a team member. So someone outside the facility. But because he had last contact with that individual on Monday of this week, he has to be absent for the 5 days. But if he continues to test negative on Sunday, he could potentially become available and play. So there is still the possibility that he's available, but he will have to test negative every day up until Sunday.
And same thing goes for another 49ers offensive player in Brandon Ayuk, correct?
Brandon Ayuk also identified as a high-risk close contact to the player who did test positive, Kendrick Bourne. And so Brandon Ayuk, because of that five-day requirement with the 49ers playing on Thursday, is now out for this game.
Okay, so 49ers are down. I mean, again, at this point, it's easier to list players they will have available tonight than to list players that they will not have available tonight. Before we ask you about one more COVID-related update, Mike, many people thought that Matthew Stafford could be the streaming quarterback option of the week in week 9. Let's say he plays. Does that, how much less comfortable are you streaming him if he doesn't practice at all this week?
I'm still going to fire him up. I mean, it's a great matchup. Obviously, we're feeling good about Marvin Jones, maybe Danny Amendola, TJ Hockenson, DeAndre Swift. There's a lot riding on this in fantasy circles this week. So, look, if you were planning on him as your streaming option this week, make sure you have a backup plan. But if he goes, I think you could feel he's a veteran, right? We're not talking about a rookie that missed a couple of weeks. I think he'll be able to play tackle football at a high level.
Has not changed teams since 2007. Right. He's played with the same organization his entire career. If anybody is likely equipped to handle no practice and then playing on Sunday, Matthew Stafford would be it. Stefania, one more, and this one came early this morning. The Texans have announced something COVID-related.
Yeah, they announced that they are closing their facility after a player tested positive for COVID-19. So again, this is part of the protocol. As soon as there is a positive case that's identified, the immediate thing they want to do is close the facility until they can establish who's been in contact, who might be at risk, and then determine when it's safe to reopen the facility.
That player reportedly is Jacob Martin, outside linebacker. Not mentioning the player by name to bring any shame upon them, but rather, you know, some people would certainly be wondering if this was someone who plays fantasy football, then it would have a different tie to our show. For right now, we're going to monitor what happens with the Texans and whether they're able to get back into their facility on Friday, and obviously the potential for high-risk close contacts, which would impact their availability on Sunday's game against the Jaguars. Now let's get to some injury updates, Stefania, and you were not here with us yesterday other than in cone spirit, but we did get into Christian McCaffrey a little bit. Yesterday was the first day of practice for the Panthers during this week, and what do we know about CMC's availability for Sunday, if anything?
Well, he's on track, but yesterday was a big day because it was the first full padded practice since he injured his ankle in week 2. So this was their first chance to get him out there in the gear and see how his ankle would respond. Everything went really well in practice yesterday. As Matt Rhule said, the test is, of course, the day after. You know, how does he feel after being out there and going through everything with the gear? So assuming that all goes well, then I think you can plan on having him out there on Sunday.
And for those wondering why no limited or full, right now Christian McCaffrey has not been brought back to the active roster. I suspect that'll be done Saturday, maybe Friday. But until a player is actually back on the 53-man roster, the team is not obligated to report his practice participation, but the signs continue to be positive for CMC. The Saints have all sorts of players on the injury report right now, Stefania. I think it's like 15 deep, but there are three that are particularly notable for our purposes. They're triplets, if you will, on offense.
Well, if you see, and Mike Triplett, who covers the Saints for us, I thought perhaps you did a little wordplay on purpose. But in any case, Alvin Kamara, who appears there with a foot issue, and of course, if you know running backs, foot issues are problematic. I will say this. Alvin Kamara gave a great response yesterday when asked about it when he was speaking with reporters. He said, you know what it's like when you stub your toe against the bedpost? He's like, that's how I feel. And it's not good. But he was quick to point out that he's going to play on Sunday. It was more of a maintenance day for him. So very kind of him to just take everyone off the ledge and let them know that he will, in fact, be playing. Drew Brees listed because of his shoulder. If you know Drew Brees, I mean, his shoulder has been an on and off issue for him throughout the course of his career, ever since he had his major surgery on it that took him to the Saints. That said, he's rarely on the injury report. He just sort of works through it. But he did not seem to think it was a big deal, and there's not really any concern about his status. And then Michael Thomas out there again, working in limited fashion, ankle and hamstring being the issue. Remember, it's a hamstring that held him out most recently. I think we're hopeful that we might see him this weekend, but the Saints have been non-committal so far.
I tell you what, Stefania, actually, I don't want Drew Brees to be banged up, but for those that have not seen it yet, there's a really, really impressively done interactive piece on ESPN.com right now.
Yes.
Of five legendary quarterbacks that are still playing. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger. Incredible visual description of what these players have been through on the injury front throughout their Hall of Fame, most likely, careers, certainly for Brady and certainly for Brees, and I would think for Rodgers and Roethlisberger with Philip Rivers probably in there as well. But I'm just pulling it up right now. You can go by. You can see that.
It's excellent. Yours truly may not have had a little editorial assist on
that. I would think not even a little, probably a big assist. Drew Brees has missed 14 games in his career. He's been listed on the injury report 19 times. He has 100% Hall of Fame chance, according to this piece. Anyways, it's more just go read the piece. It's pretty cool.
It's very visually cool, and the amount of detail that's in there is like nothing I've ever seen. It's great.
Mike, one thing on Michael Thomas is the last time that the Saints and Bucks played was the only game that the Saints had Michael Thomas on the field, and some remember week one, not even 20 receiving yards, 17 receiving yards. You concerned at all about the matchup with Carlton Davis?
I am. In fact, he was on the downgrades in our wide receiver cornerback segment in week one. Why? Because he was facing off with Carlton Davis, one of the better, I don't even think we could say young corners anymore. He's still young, but he's one of the best corners in the NFL. He shadows clear number ones, and he's been super effective in that game. He was on Thomas on 19 of his 20 perimeter routes, 21 of 19 routes overall. And to your point, five targets, three catches, 17 yards. And that was at the time, a healthy Michael Thomas. It should have been all systems go in that offense. Right now, the Bucs defense, obviously very good, but nonetheless, overall, tough matchup against this defense, tough matchup for Thomas. First game back since he played Tampa Bay, we have to downgrade him. But at the same time, field, it's Michael Thomas. And season long, you still have to start him if he plays. DFS is where you want to avoid.
I would agree on that. Just by the way, to put a quick pin or circle back to the game for tonight, we'll talk about the preview a little bit later, but no new positives this morning for the Packers or the 49ers, which that means the game remains on track as it was, and we can have a discussion in a different forum about whether they should be playing this game tonight, but they are going to play it Thursday Night Football on as scheduled. Now back to more injuries and Stefania Calvin Ridley. Not saying it's off the fantasy radar by any stretch, but when a player plays on Thursday night, it's been so long since we've seen the Falcons that a little harder to keep track of where a player is at. Where is Calvin Ridley at right now?
Well, he didn't practice on Wednesday, and you're right. You think with that extra time after a Thursday game, it's always concerning when a player doesn't make that first practice back. And this is a midfoot sprain, and I've talked about this many times before, that these are sometimes more nuanced and more difficult to recover from than you would suspect. So I think that's a bit concerning to me, and it would certainly make me worried that he might not be available for this game. Over Tampa Bay, Chris Godwin, coming off that finger surgery, was back in practice, limited, wearing a cast on that hand to protect it. Bruce Arians said, we don't know if he can catch a ball yet, and we won't know till Friday. So I think it's noteworthy that he's back and he's participating and he's getting his conditioning going. But as to whether he can actually effectively catch the ball, they're not going to assess that until tomorrow. And so we may not have our answer until late tomorrow afternoon or Saturday as to whether he can definitively play. Cowboys running back Zeke Elliott on the injury report, which is a rare thing for him, limited Wednesday because of a hamstring issue. Now, there's not any suggestion that he won't be good to go this weekend, but it is still worth noting soft tissue injuries can be problematic, and he has dealt with a hamstring injury in the past, one in the preseason a couple years ago that cost him a little. It was a little bit more problematic for him to recover than people thought. Just a reminder that Andy Dalton is out on the COVID-19 list as well. And then in Miami, Miles Gaskin, running back who's been filling in so nicely, been kind of a nice surprise, placed on injured reserve on Thursday because of a knee issue. I had heard that this was going to be a multi-week issue. It was nice that they actually put him on injured reserve because you know that he will miss at least three games. And I want to point out that Brian Flores said a minimum of three games, so it could be a little bit longer. Matt Breida did not practice Wednesday because of a hamstring issue. It remains to be seen if that is just a day of rest or if it's something a little more serious.
Big one there, Mike, is that Miami backfield. And yesterday we had a pretty thoughtful conversation surrounding Matt Breida. Sounds like we need to have a different conversation that involves maybe most primarily Jordan Howard.
Yeah, nice of that to come out that Breida is probably going to miss this one or seemingly going to, may miss it, whatever you want to categorize it at. After waivers,
correct.
Of course, after, Matt Breida to fill in for Miles Gaskin, who I have on half of my teams. We don't know exactly how this is going to shake out, right? Mm-hmm. So my guess is, based on the personnel, you'll have Jordan Howard active, and he'll handle, I would think, 12 to 14 carries, goal line work, as he did early in this season. Remember, yesterday I pointed out he has 8 carries inside the 5 this season. That's with 3 games inactive, so he's been their clear goal line back. You would have Patrick Laird. Remember him from fantasy last season?
Sure,
he
was
a lot of fun. We had some fun with him. He's a passing down specialist, so he'd be involved. And maybe you can answer this. Can DeAndre Washington play in this game?
He cannot play in this game.
He cannot, so it would not be him. But Salvin Ahmed, they have two, was with the 49ers in camp. Kind of a dynasty hype guy, undrafted this year. Would be active as the third running back. And who knows? Maybe he gets some run. They're obviously not happy with Howard. Maybe he gets some run too. So yeah. Deep dynasty ad perhaps there.
Will be interesting. You know, Jordan Howard has had basically no passing game usage so far this year. But he's not a bad pass catcher either. Like, this is not Adrian Peterson where it's like he's basically a zero in the passing game. Or Gus Edwards. Like, he can adeptly handle some passing game usage. That will be the hope if you are starting Jordan Howard this upcoming week. As always, we talk about wide receiver and cornerback matchups on Thursdays. It's a column that Mike writes weekly for ESPN.com. He is the originator of the concept. He does a great, great job with the wide receiver cornerback matchups every week. And here's how we do it. Wide receivers that stand to benefit based off their matchups and wide receivers who you might be a little bit nervous about based off who they are playing on Sunday. And we begin in what is a high-stakes game. The Seahawks going on the road to Buffalo. And the Bills' wide receivers have been more productive than maybe most expected going into this season, Mike. Could that continue on Sunday?
Yeah, when your team is the second pass-heaviest offense in the NFL, that helps quite a bit,
sure.
Right? So, and not to mention the gunslinger that is Josh Allen. So, Stephon Diggs and John Brown, great matchup in this one against Seattle. Quentin Dunbar and Shaq Griffin play the perimeter there, or Trey Flowers if Griffin remains out. He's missed some time. With an injury, Cole Beasley is in the slot. He'll see DJ Reed. So Seattle, most fantasy points allowed to receivers, most to left perimeter receivers, most to right perimeter receivers. Again, you have Diggs and Brown on the outside against those two guys. And let's put some numbers on those players. Griffin, again, he missed week 8. He ranks 3rd with 106 fantasy points allowed in coverage this season, even missing a game. So he has really struggled. And then in terms of fantasy points per coverage snap, Griffin is barely worse than Quentin Dunbar. So it just shows you the efficiency problems that both have had on the outside.
Yeah, they're by too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
They have had their bye.
Yeah, they've had their bye too. So that shows you the problems they've had. And in the slot, by the way, I mentioned DJ Reed. He's their third string slot corner. Yeah. They have had major issues there with Blair hurt, and now Ugo Amadi hurt as well. Second most fantasy points allowed to the slot for Seattle. So across the board, upgrade all Buffalo wide receivers.
Now, the only thing is, Mike, it's been a very up and down, shaky month for Josh Allen. Where are you at with Josh Allen? And Matthew and I talked about this on Monday, whether he's still a must start quarterback every single week. Are you at the point where your confidence has been shaken on him?
A little bit. I mean, it's, what, 4 straight rough games?
Yeah.
We're going to do our DFS pod later. I'm going to talk a little bit about him. I do like him in DFS this week. And I kind of went game by game through his production, right? And he did have a dud against the Chiefs. Another game, they had 8 field goal attempts, which is kind of fluky.
The Jets game, right?
Yeah, the Jets game. Ton of passing yards, ton of rushing yards in that game. There were some flukes missed in there, 2 passing touchdowns in another game. So I think that he'll be okay because he's still top 10 in pass attempts. And rush attempts, we can do so much, and you just can't get that out of your quarterback, most quarterbacks, of course. So I'm not overly concerned about it. There's been some tough matchups in there. This is a great matchup, and he's going to have to throw it a lot in this one to keep up with Russell Wilson, and that's one of the most attractive things about him in fantasy this week.
Hard for me to envision Josh Allen not delivering upon expectations this week unless he implodes, like unless it's a four-turnover sort of barf-down-your-shirt type of game.
Always on the Josh table. Allen. With Josh Allen.
Really?
Right. Maybe not to that extent, Field, but a four interception game. I don't think he's had very many of them, but it just seems like he's right there. He's playing with fire every
I always
game.
Say this. Every time I watch him, every game, he's going to give you one or two, maybe three opportunities. And it's whether you're a defensive back who has feet for hands or whether you have hands for hands. And if you have hands for hands, you're going to make the play. Oftentimes. Another player, Mike, who I don't know what to, I think his rookie season's actually been fine. I just think maybe it's his offense he plays in right now, but the sky is still the limit for Jerry Jeudy in my estimation. Could we see some of that on Sunday?
I think so. And this applies across the board to Broncos wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick on the outside, KJ Hamler in the slot. Falcons, fifth most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, fourth most over the past month, second most to the perimeter. And I should point out, because if you watch Denver, you're probably thinking, Mike, you just said something wrong. Judy's the slot. Not anymore. They swapped roles last week. And you remember Jeudy and KJ Hamler almost exclusively slot receivers in college last year. Not the case in the NFL because you can't put both guys inside, but they did flip and Jeudy's on the outside. And now I'm kind of excited for that now, right? Because what happens when you move to the perimeter? You get more vertical targets, right? You're not going to, whereas if you're in the slot, your average depth of target's going to be closer to the line of scrimmage. You might not score as often. You might not have as many big plays. You might have more catches, helpful in PPR. But now with him on the outside, more opportunity for big plays. And I think we saw a little bit of that last week. Speaking of this matchup, though, second most fantasy points to the perimeter. That obviously helps Jeudy and Tim Patrick out there. Kendall Sheffield allowing a little over 0.5 fantasy points per coverage snap. That's ninth highest among 159 qualified defenders. He has really struggled this season. Sheffield and A.J. Terrell, the rookie, will be on the outside. K.J. Hamler in a slot against Isaiah Oliver. Only five players have allowed more fantasy points and coverage than him this season. They've also allowed the fifth most fantasy points to the slot. So again, across the board, upgrading this Denver offense.
Okay, yep. That Falcons defense has been a little bit better of late. A little bit.
A little bit.
Definitely
still giving
not
up
good enough to
wide receivers still away. Crushing them.
I would just say one thing to keep an eye on is status of Tim Patrick, because he did not play last week because of a hamstring issue. He was limited yesterday. It's still up in the air whether he'll be available for Atlanta.
And it's always a guessing game with some guys. Obviously, Stefan, you help move the needle where I'm like adjusting projections, who I think is going to play, who's not. It's always a guessing game. But Patrick last week seemed like he's ready to go. Like he wanted to play. Yeah.
He wanted to play, but I was told he did not look good moving around. So
all right.
That's why I left him in the projections, because I'm like, if he was that close, or it seemed to be that close, that's why I was like, all right, I guess maybe he'll go this week. But we'll see what happens there.
One more note on that Falcons defense. You see my man Tack McKinley taken out to the Twitter streets to announce what the Falcons had turned down, supposedly?
Yeah, and he, I'm guessing, won't play this week. I don't
know. I'd be surprised.
Maybe some discipline.
Yeah, the defensive end who put on Twitter that the Falcons last year turned down an offer for a second-round pick for him. Then they turned down an offer more recently of a fifth and a sixth-round pick, which I don't know that airing the deals is that devastating for a team, but he finished it off with, I think it was four clown emojis. So,
and he was like, I only have 14 and a half sacks, or like undermining himself or something.
It was the most bizarre. It was, you know what it was? 2020.
Yeah.
2020 in a tweet.
And he's been quite an enigma, right? Because he's always super high in like pressure rate and getting to the quarterback, but he doesn't have a lot of sacks. It's weird. Like, I don't know if he's a superstar or not. Like, he's a tough guy to figure out.
He's one of those players that'd be, you know, if assuming, I don't say screws the head on straight, but obviously if you're taking to Twitter to besmirch your team, you probably need to grow up a tiny bit. Change of scenery could help him out a lot, a lot. Like, he's going to go to Seattle and become a superstar. It's just how these things work. Let's talk about players who might be matchup downgrades, Mike. And, you know, I don't know that people are afraid of the Saints secondary right now. However, there is history between Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Evans.
There absolutely is. Just the details on this are pretty convincing, too, if you're trying to figure out who has had the leg up in this matchup. Lattimore has shadowed Evans in five consecutive meetings between the two. That includes week one earlier this season. He was on him on almost every play. Evans had two targets and zero catches against Lattimore. He did catch a touchdown in that game against Demario Davis, but again, very low production game for him. In his career against Lattimore, 152 routes run, 22 targets, 10 catches, 210 yards, and a touchdown. In fact, this is kind of crazy. When doing my research for the show, this is the one that really popped out to me. Over the last two seasons against Marshon Lattimore, Mike Evans has run 54 routes. He has four targets and zero catches against him. So he has shut him down for sure. And also, there's you can go deeper than this, right? If you look back at his receiving lines just against the Saints since Marshon Lattimore was drafted, we'll start with 2017, one catch for 13 yards, no touchdowns, 5 for 55. That was in the second game between the two. 2018, he did pretty well, 147 yards and a touchdown and 86 yards. Then we get to 2019, zero catches in one game. I think we all, if you had Evans, you remember that dud. 4 for 69 and no touchdowns in the second game. And then again, earlier this season, one catch for 2 yards and a touchdown. So with the exception of 2018, he's been shut down by the Saints since they got Marshon Lattimore. We know, speaking of Mike Triplett, he's talked about this before. When Marshon Lattimore knows there's a number one coming in, a really strong number one perimeter receiver, he's ready to go for those matchups. He gets himself ready to roll, and he usually does well, and that's maybe the case this week against Evans.
90% of the game is play between the ears. It sounds like this is a good example of that. What do you got, Daniel?
Mike, you're just saying, though, that this is a downgrade, because those are some pretty bad stats when you look at how Evans has matched up with him. But this is just a downgrade for Mike Evans. You're still starting him. It's not a poop-in-your-shoe kind of a game, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that as part of the analysis. I definitely didn't use that expression in my column this week. But I thought we were...
Yeah, Daniel's trying
shirts.
To go. Yeah, he's trying to
I thought
match.
We were all picking things that we did, yeah. Not things that we did, things that have happened.
Right. No, that was, we got that on tape. Right?
I was going to say, that's definitely...
Too much information.
You're still starting him, though, right? That's the whole point here. This is just a downgrade for Mike Evans. You're not saying, like, don't start him at all. He's a flex option still.
It's like any other one. We're going to downgrade him for sure. I still think he's, I believe I have him ranked as a wide receiver 3 in this matchup. If Chris Godwin's out, you definitely feel a little bit better. If Chris Godwin goes in this game, I'm a little more concerned about perhaps a dud for some of these wide receivers. I mean, it is a good matchup against the Saints, but how much is Antonio Brown going to play? We are already dealing with Mike Evans not seeing a lot of targets this season. And if he doesn't score a touchdown, maybe he goes 2 for 20 in this game. It's a very real possibility. So consider your options at wide receiver. Maybe stay away in DFS cash games this week. But I think most people's situations with the buys and with injuries, he's probably going to still fall as your maybe third best wide receiver this week.
Okay, that's interesting stuff right there. I like that. All the angles there definitely get me fired up for this game on Sunday night. Certainly helps to have Tom Brady as your quarterback for Mike Evans in this matchup. All right, Robbie Anderson, the Chiefs. Yesterday, Mike, we were talking about how there are not that many great defenses. Mm-hmm. You posited that maybe the Chiefs are one of the better defenses.
Certainly against the pass. I mean, think about these numbers. Last season,
okay.
Chiefs, fewest receptions allowed to wide receivers, the receiving yards, and the second fewest fantasy points. That was a surprise.
Pretty good.
After what happened the year before.
Yeah.
Very nice job by Steve Spagnuolo switching to the 4-3 and getting them much improved against the pass. This season so far, second fewest receptions and yards to wide receivers, fourth fewest fantasy points, the lowest yards per target and catch rate, and the second fewest fantasy points to the perimeter and third to the slot. I mean, there's no bad category. I mean, just straight dominance against that position across the board, which is crazy because usually you'll see great offenses that are scoring at will give up a ton to other offenses because they're playing catch-up, and that has not been the case for the Saints. They are shutting down the wide receiver position. So in this matchup specifically, you have DJ Moore in the perimeter 76% of the time, Robbie Anderson 69% of the time. They'll see Bashaud Breeland and Charvarius Ward, and then you have Curtis Samuel on the slot against Rashad Fenton, and the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, plays the slot as well. They'll generally split the coverage against the slot receiver. So again, they've been super productive in fantasy. Curtis Samuel himself is coming off a 2-touchdown game. I don't feel great about any of these guys in this matchup.
Interesting stuff right there, huh? I mean, I guess I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, I expect this one to be like a 35. Well, probably I was going to say like a 35-32. Then I'm like, it's the Chiefs. Like a 49-27 shootout. Maybe not quite as much. Maybe not quite as much action on the scoring front as I may have anticipated. You know, Truly Lemonade is a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that is perfect for game day. If life or your fantasy lineup gives you lemons, make lemonade. Maybe even win your matchup with a surprise standout and keep the good times going with Truly. Bring the flavor to game day as only you can. We'll keep it light, crisp, and crushable. Truly Lemonade comes in 4 refreshing flavors: original, strawberry, mango, and black cherry. Truly hard seltzer. Live Truly.
You know the pressure you feel heading into a fantasy draft?
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure you're picking all the right guys to get the job done. Because whatever your strategy is, at the end of the day, it all comes down to who's on your team. What we really need is something like ZipRecruiter for fantasy football. They don't have that yet. But soon, hopefully, ZipRecruiter, though, in the real world, makes hiring easier than ever. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, scanning thousands of applicants and actively inviting the most qualified candidates to apply. So you can hire the right people for your job fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter find a quality candidate within the first day. Man, imagine if we had something like that, like ZipRecruiter, during our fantasy drafts. We'd never lose. Try ZipRecruiter for free today when you post your job at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right. Time now for some more rankings talk. And Mike, another player that was brought up in our quarterback conversation on Monday was Lamar Jackson. And I felt like this was sort of one of the great fantasy football pickles in this sense. Lamar Jackson is not playing nearly close enough to expectations. You also can't really bench Lamar Jackson. It reminds me of what we talked about with Zeke yesterday. And I know that I'm like, I was the one that's saying I had him at 15 and I felt way too high, but it's really tough to envision a scenario in which you would bench Ezekiel Elliott. Are you even thinking about it with Lamar Jackson?
I mean, I don't think so, unless you're really loaded at quarterback. I mean, maybe you picked up Justin Herbert, who we're going to talk about in a minute, off waivers, and you want to go that direction. I don't have a major issue with that. He's QB8 on my board, and look, there's a few things to like here. He's been a top 8 fantasy quarterback in 3 weeks, or 3 times a season, so we've seen some of that upside. He's also been QB18 or worse in the other 4, so he's been certainly a bit boom-bust this season. He still adds a ton of value with his legs, and that's really key in fantasy these days. 66 carries, 411 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He's first a quarterback in carries, even though his production in that department is down a little bit. The problem this week really is the matchup. The Colts, fewest fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks this season, bottom 10 in completions, passing yards, passing touchdowns, and they also have the most interceptions with 11. So I'm nervous if I have him, but it's also good old Lamar Jackson, right? I mean, he has such a high ceiling. We know that any given point he could come out and have 90 rushing yards and a touchdown and throw for another 200, another touchdown or two. He has that upside. So I think in most teams who have him on their roster will and should have him in their lineup this week.
Just remarkable to think that he has been the quarterback 18 or worse in 4 of the 7 games played this season. Maybe this is just, as I said on Monday, just another reason to believe that you should be patient with quarterbacks in draft. Just do it, people. Trust the instincts here, because more often than, it's going to happen. There are going to be years where a quarterback is going to repeat with historical production. It's going to happen at some point. There might be, but I'm just telling you, if you were to take the last 10 supremely historical years at quarterback and then find the season after them where you may have paid up the premium, I'd be surprised if more than one of them worked out in your favor.
Yeah, I put up a lot of content last offseason after the Mahomes season, and you just look at these charts of what all the most historic seasons that quarterbacks have had in NFL production, statistical production, fantasy production, however you want to label it, and what they did the next year. And it's just like way down, way down, way down, way down, way down. Tom Brady was okay the next year. Way down, way down. It's just right down the board. Really, the Patriots are the only offense that have repeated historic seasons in the past ever, really ever in NFL history. And the same thing with Lamar Jackson. It was the same chart, the same graph. You can't do it. And by the way, we talked about Dante Culpepper yesterday with trivia. He's the last guy to finish as a number one fantasy quarterback in back-to-back seasons. It's just so hard to repeat, to be able to sustain that high in production for 32 games. It just doesn't happen.
It's hard to do. It's also hard to do because you have so many new players introduced into the quarterback lexicon each year, including Justin Herbert, who has been incredible. He's got 4 straight top 10 finishes. I've got him at 5 on my board. You've got him at 6 on your board. Daniel has him at 6 as well on his board. Must start. He's a must start. I think weekly must start.
I think so, too, and it's just a matter of, is he going to have a bad game at some point? You know, 4 straight top 10s in fantasy, he's 21-plus points in all but one start, which is just unbelievable. I mean, he was just – his first start was he found out, 5 minutes before the game, and he just came out running, and he's been a fantasy force, 264-plus passing yards and – not or – and 3-plus passing touchdowns in 4 consecutive games. Raiders 8th most fantasy points to quarterbacks. It's a good matchup. He's been producing – I don't see how you take him out of your lineup this week.
Yeah, he has been remarkable. One of the great waiver wire pickups of the season. Maybe the best waiver wire pickup of the season, although Joe Burrow certainly knocking on that door as well. But if you look from fantasy perspective, Joe Burrow's had far more duds than Justin Herbert has. Again, Bengals fans, I still love you, and I still love Joe Burrow. I'm just saying, from a fantasy perspective, one of them has been a clear cut above the other. Josh Jacobs was awesome all the way back in week one. I think it was 32-plus points. He was RB1 for the week. 3 touchdowns against the Carolina Panthers. He's been inside the top 20 just once since that time, Mike. I was actually a little bit skeptical of Josh Jacobs coming into this year relative to the rest of our rankers, but not for the reasons that have played out. Like, so my concerns were, one, the Raiders signed like 9 backs this offseason. Now, they offloaded some of those players, including trading Lynn Bowden before he even played a game. A third-round pick getting traded before he even played a game is very unusual. But also, I thought, you know, I was a little bit concerned because of a major, major shoulder injury last year. Like, they maybe, not that it would recur, but that the Raiders would try to maybe curb his workload a little bit because they saw what happened last season. Do you have a specific reason that you can point to for why it hasn't been quite as productive so far this year for Josh Jacobs?
Not a great one. I mean, he...
Offensive line's been impacted.
Certainly, and we would like to see more passing game volume, although that's been up a little bit from last year. So we don't feel like that's a major detriment, but, you know, he's 25 targets in 7 games. It's certainly an improvement on last season. But, I have hope for him, and the reason is heavy volume, right? Where you want to chase volume, not efficiency, and the efficiency's been down. That can recover, but he's 2nd at running back in carry, 7th in rushing yards, and 3rd in touches, and they already had their bye as well. That is outstanding volume. And the 25 targets as well, that all adds up. Now, what about this week? Can you feel good about starting him? Certainly, if you're chasing that volume, you can. And I think the matchup is okay. Now, the Chargers have only faced 130 carries by running backs this season. That is 4th fewest. They've only allowed 2 rushing touchdowns. That doesn't paint a great picture. But they are allowing 4.8 yards per carry. That's 7th highest in the league. And they have faced 68 running back targets. That is most in the NFL. Also, 3 touchdown catches to running backs. So, again, they're getting him the ball a few times. Maybe the targets are actually up by 1 or 2 this week based on this matchup, and perhaps he comes through. So he's RB7 on my board. I'm always going to chase those guys with the heavy volume, and he's one of them.
He's got 147 carries this year.
Yeah. He had, what, 30 last week, 31 against the Browns?
What do you think his longest carry is of the season?
His longest carry, 12 yards.
Wow, you were super pessimistic. 16 yards.
Okay.
So, and I don't want to say that Josh Jacobs is not a great player. I just, generally speaking, think that if you gave... There are running backs that, like, if Christian McCaffrey didn't have at least a 16-yard run over 150 carries, we would be wondering, like, it would be a major red flag. So,
yeah, I
don't know. Yeah, interesting.
Maybe. That's interesting. Sometimes I'll hear a stat like that and think, well, regression alert. Well, even just regression alert.
No,
like, at some point, he's going to find a lane and go for 52 yards, and his yards per carry is going to get jacked up, like... That's one of the problems with yards per carry for sure, and it could take one play to really make a week even for him.
Well, so last thing on this is that, you know, yesterday you cautioned us about how, like, you weren't surprised by some of these running backs that haven't been quite as productive as rookies. And you noted that, like, you know, 2nd and 3rd round running backs over the past few years, and correct me if I'm wrong here, have not been super, super duper stars in fantasy, right? A lot of those blue chippers have either been total anomalies like Chris Carson or somebody in the 7th round, or guys drafted like Saquon and Leonard Fournette, and not just 1st round, but top of the 1st round.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. There's been some back end. Well, like Jacobs was.
But I'm saying, but like, yeah, but maybe like 24. I don't know if that was the league devaluing running backs a little bit in that draft. But interesting. I don't know. Again, I really like Josh Jacobs as a player. I just hope that more explosive. Like, I don't think it's crazy to want more explosive runs from a guy that I think has it in him. Melvin Gordon. Number 20 on your board, Mike. Number 20 on my board as well. Philip Lindsay has been better over the past couple of weeks. As a matter of fact, Philip Lindsay leads all running backs, amongst qualified running backs, in terms of yards per carry this season. You have any instinct or any sense, would you be surprised if by the end of this year, Philip Lindsay is dominating touches more than Melvin Gordon for the Broncos?
I think he might end up with more carries, but that actually speaks to the point about yards per carry. Didn't he have like a 80-yard touchdown or 52-yard touchdown, Lindsay, and he's missed some games, so his volume is very low. So, nonetheless, that tells you a little bit about yards per carry. But anyway, Gordon specifically, 1 weekly finish better than 14th, 1 worse than 22nd. So he's been rating that, you know, it's like that high floor RB2, but no ceiling sort of fantasy production for him. And he basically split snaps with Lindsay last week. That's what was interesting to me. 8-6 carry lead for Gordon. He had a 7-3 target lead. And I think that's what's going to bail him out. Even if it's like a 14-12 edge for Lindsay and carries going forward, maybe even a little wider, we still expect Gordon to be the passing down back. And that's why we kind of bought into him in drafts, in PPR drafts, to be the better fantasy choice. And I don't think that will change. The Falcons, by the way, have faced the second fewest running back carries. Not great news for Lindsay, of course, but near the top in all passing game numbers allowed. Good news for Melvin Gordon. So I think that's good for him this week.
I'm curious, a couple weeks ago on Melvin Gordon, there was obviously the DUI issue that came up that we've sort of been waiting to figure out what's happened, and it just sort of feels like
we haven't really heard anything from anything.
So is it still possible that sometime in the season that could come out and we just, right now waiting?
Say, I would say it would have been more surprising if we had a ruling by now.
Really?
So I think that there's a chance that by the end of the season, if there is punishment for Melvin Gordon to face, he'll face it at the end of this year. But it wouldn't surprise me if it was punishment served at the start of the 2021 season. So no surprise that we haven't heard any news recently, but it could happen at any moment here. Let's zip through, move to wide receivers, and then get through. I want to leave some time to talk about this game tonight. Mm-hmm. Thursday Night Football game, very interesting one for a lot of reasons. But Smart Lineup Decisions is informed by IBM Watson. And this week, we're looking at A.J. Brown, who already has 3 boom performances on his 2020 ledger, and his odds of a 4th stand at 11%, nearly double his odds of letting you down with a bust game against the Bears. But Mike, this Bears defense is no joke. How concerned are you about A.J. Brown?
Just a little bit because of the matchup. The Bears' 3rd fewest fantasy points to receivers. They've only allowed 2 touchdowns, and that's important because A.J. Brown has scored a touchdown in 4 straight games. He has 5 over his past 4 games. Even if the volume's been down a little bit in terms of catches and yardage, he still bailed you out with a touchdown. Bears also allowing a 59% catch rate to wide receivers. That's 3rd lowest and 7.6 yards per target. That is 5th lowest. So again, across the board dominance. But at the same time, Brown has been very good in fantasy. Top 11 3 weeks in a row before he was 36 last week, and he was on William Jackson. I tweeted a little bit about this. They basically, for whatever reason, for the first game in his career, they did not line him up at wide right perimeter.
Okay.
First time he played 0 snaps. Every snap when he was on the perimeter was on the left side. He had a few in the slot, just a few, but they basically put him up against William Jackson and on every play on the perimeter. Head scratcher. I don't get it. Move the guy around. He's one of your best weapons, and he had a bad game other than the late touchdown. So didn't make sense. But again, that kind of explains his quote unquote down game in fantasy. He does, and this is the good news if you have him on your team, he does have 7 or more targets in every game this season. So they're making sure, unlike last year, making sure to consistently get the ball into A.J. Brown's hand. So I still think he's 21st on my board. I'm starting him, but I'm a little bit nervous about the matchup.
Certainly one of the great touchdown makers in the NFL, so he doesn't need a ton of volume, even when he is get a ton of volume. Stefan, how about Jamison Crowder? I kind of miss this guy. And he's been really effective for the Jets when he's played this season, but got hurt in practice a few weeks ago. I know they have not yet filed an official practice report because they play on Monday night. What's your instinct on Jamison Crowder's status?
Yeah, I'm trying to dig a little deeper into it. I don't feel great about it because if you look at just the pattern from last week with this groin injury, he only manages one limited effort on Thursday and then Friday is held out and then ends up not playing. So it certainly doesn't make you feel good. But as you said, they have not practiced yet, so we don't really have a report. They obviously need him, but
yeah,
brain injuries are really problematic. And it sounds like this was a little worse. Remember, it happened in a practice, and it sounds like it's a little worse than maybe we originally gave it credit for.
The Patriots and Jets should make an agreement that what's on Monday night, the Patriots, on all their offensive snaps, can use any of their own wide receivers plus the Jets wide receivers. The Jets can use any of their wide receivers plus the Patriots.
I like this.
Share the wide receivers amongst each other. And that way, I mean, the Patriots and Jets are obviously substantially thinned out right now at wide receiver due to injury and just really not having the pieces in place on their roster. So we can be collaborative, teamwork.
I just want to say this on Jamison Crowder. And I know that you're the Jamison Crowder lover here on the podcast. So I'm not trying to like jump in. I'm just saying, when I pulled up his game log,
it's silly.
Mm-hmm. He has 10 targets in every single game. He has at least 7 catches in every single game. 3 of his 4 games, he has 100 yards receiving, and he's 5th in fantasy points per game at the wide receiver position.
It's silly.
For the Jets, if he could just stay on the field, like imagine.
I tell you what, I actually thought he would have been the perfect player that if I were looking for a wide receiver at the trade deadline, I would have sniffed around on Jamison Crowder. He's got a year and a half left on his contract. And not that he's not a really good player for the Jets. As Adam Gase has said continually, he's our best. He's been our best offensive player this year. But I would have not been surprised if somebody made a pretty reasonable offer for Jamison Crowder that the Jets would have had to say, too good to refuse. Couple of tight end question mark, not question marks, but tight end ranking options for week 9, as I do want to get to the game in just a moment here. But quickly, TJ Hockenson, both you and Daniel believe that with no Kenny Golladay this week, he should be very busy on Sunday. And he's been good all year.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. He's my number 4 tight end this week. He's number 4 on the season. The number 1 at tight end in OT, second in end zone targets, top 7 in catches, receiving yards, touchdowns. I mean, put him... We talked about it yesterday. He's a lineup lock right now.
He's a lineup lock, and take away the name and where he was drafted, but just if you just gave the raw stats on Evan Engram, you'd be like, fine, I can live with that. Because you just have to look past the fact that he's a former first-round pick and a guy who feels like he could be, you know, JV version of, or maybe like a discount version of Travis Kelce because he's so athletic and so capable. Just maybe not the perfect offense to get things rolling here, Mike, but he's still got to keep trotting out Evan Engram.
You do. If you told me before the season at this point in the year he'd be 3rd at tight end and targets, I'd be like, all right, that's a steal in the middle rounds of drafts, right?
Yeah.
No question about it. The good news is he's starting to get him back on track a little bit. Like he's had, the volume's been there, 7+ targets in 5 of 8 games, also has 5 carries. He's been a top 13 fantasy tight end for the past 5 weeks, right? So he's given you a decent floor. At least you have that going for you right now.
Quick aside here. I think Travis Kelce's become underrated. Allow me to expand that thought at some point on the podcast later, but I'm really convinced he's one of the more underrated players in the NFL, which is crazy for a guy that has been named
and in fantasy, probably.
Yeah, totally. Seriously, find me a more consistent player than Travis Kelce. Shell knows that between every tee-up, layup, and batter-up that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast. So come to Shell and get 3 things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Oh, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. And engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Filled some up in my car this morning. See full terms and conditions at FuelRewards.com.
Do you own or rent your home?
Yes.
Sure you do.
Thank you.
And I bet it can be hard work, Field.
It really is.
You know what's easy, though?
No.
Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already had too much. You already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save today. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right, let's get to the game. My bad. I just got right ahead of that game preview sounder. Time now for our game preview for Thursday Night Football. The Packers go on the road. California has treated them very poorly over the past season and a half. They lost both the Chargers and the 49ers last regular season. And then what happened in the NFC Championship game, Stefania?
We won.
The 49ers just waxed the Packers. But tonight might be the night that they can break the streak. But for the Packers, we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers in a second, but I think all eyes, Stefania, are on the running backs tonight. We know a couple players are definitely out, and then we have a lot of question marks.
Yeah, this is really, so Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon both out because of being on the reserve COVID-19 list, so they don't have them. Okay. Aaron Jones has been dealing with a calf issue and has missed the last 2 games and has been limited in practice. And remember, when this first happened, mild strain. We even thought we would see him potentially that week. Remember, it happened late in the week in a practice session. We thought, oh, well, this is no big deal. And then we thought, well, okay, smart for them to hold him out for this first game. He did travel with the team to Houston that week and did not play. Then they have last week's game against the Vikings. He sits that one out. He has traveled with the team to San Francisco. But if you listen to what offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett said yesterday, he said, it's a game time deal. It's a finicky deal. I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm hearing that there's just not a great feeling that he's going to be active during this game. So I don't think you're going to get the official word until when they have to give it, 90 minutes before game time. But who I'm talking to does not feel like it's a sure thing that he will play.
All right, so a little bit of how the sausage is made insight here is that when we do our rankings, I leave players in my rankings until I have definitive information that they're going to sit out. So Aaron Jones is still in my rankings, which is why as you're looking across the panels, you may see that other players, such as Dexter Williams or Tyler Irvin, may not have fully updated ranks. I do know now that they are showing my rank of Aaron Jones not being ranked. If he plays, I'm starting him. Let's make it simple. But if he does not play, and it sounds like he won't play, then we have to have a conversation about Dexter Williams, who is still on the practice squad for right now, but of course a likely candidate to be elevated tonight, plus Tyler Swervin Irvin. And Tyler Irvin was added off of waivers last year from the Jaguars. He's a kick return man. That's what he is. He is not a full-time running back. As Mike said,
he's
a full-time wide receiver, when he's not returning kicks. So one more time for those that may have missed yesterday's show, Mike, presuming Aaron Jones is out, how would you treat the Packers' backfield, and what level of confidence would you have in starting Dexter Williams or Tyler Irvin?
Dexter Williams is the bigger back. He's running back 25 on my board. He is my preferred fantasy option because I think he'll get most of the carries, the goal line work, and perhaps a few targets in this game. Tyler Irvin is 192 pounds at 5'10". He's a short area target, to your point. Explosive guy they like to use out of the backfield a few times, and a returner. I have him 34th on my board. If there's one of these backs that's going to get seven targets in this game, it's Irvin. But again, I have him projected more in the 4 to 5 range for this game. And again, before you get too excited about them, when you're setting your lineup or your DFS lineup tonight, whatever it is, the 49ers have allowed the fewest fantasy points to running backs. This is a dominant run defense, even with the injury. So I don't feel great about them. No more than a deep league flex.
Okay, there you have it. Aaron Rodgers, probably more than a deep league flex.
I would say so.
He's a quarterback. He's been top 8 in 4 of his past 5 games. Remember that one dud being against the Buccaneers. 49ers are so banged up right now defensively, Mike. And while Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk and all the other players on the 49ers offense don't obviously play defense, I just, you know, sometimes when I think about the outlook for Aaron Rodgers, what if... Not that their Packers defense has been very good, but this feels like a night that Aaron Rodgers could have an opportunity where a drive starts inside the San Francisco 20-yard line, right? Like, I think the offense should be set up for favorable positions because I do anticipate some struggles for the 49ers offense. Hard to envision not having Aaron Rodgers in your lineup tonight.
I have him 9th on my board, so I'm more borderline. I will say one quick thing. I mean, obviously, Rodgers has been terrific in fantasy, but the 49ers, if you look just at their numbers, you're going to say, okay, they're mid-pack against quarterbacks. It's not too tough of a matchup, but they've allowed 4 top 8 fantasy weeks, and it's been a lot of rushing production. They've been good against pocket passers, 4th fewest pass yards allowed. Mm. So Rodgers, not like prime Rodgers in terms of running the football, he doesn't do as much of that anymore. He's going to have to do it from the pocket. And I mean, how about Jason Verrett? What a story. That's a topic for another day. But I mean, they've actually found some players that have been tremendous, tremendous defenders and able to cover. And I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe it's a surprising down game for him.
Mike Enfield, our director, actually has a question. I'm sure he's not the only one in this position, but he has Justin Herbert and Aaron Rodgers. And there's the hard thing of it's Aaron Rodgers. How do you not play Aaron Rodgers over a rookie where, you know, it's been 4 games, but it's only 4 games, guys?
You're playing Justin Herbert.
I'm playing Herbert, too. Yeah. And could I see Rodgers throwing 4 touchdowns tonight? Absolutely. But I think Herbert, what he's done with his legs and his arm, yeah, such high. I have Herbert higher.
Yeah, as do I. It's a very good problem to have. But both of us would lean towards the rookie out of Oregon. Stefania, Alan Lazard has missed some time with a core injury. Do we expect him back tonight for Green Bay?
He traveled to San Francisco. Woo. Might see him now. Alan Lazard has been on injured reserve since having that surgery on October 1st, and they did designate him for return about a week ago. He returned to practice, been practicing for a week. So he could play. They would need to activate him first, obviously, bring out to the active roster, but he did make the trip, so I think it's possible.
Okay, it's possible. Mike, there's a second Green Bay Packers pass catcher you're playing. Is there anybody tonight that piques your interest?
If he plays, I have some trivia for you. I don't think you'll ever get this one. Okay, through week 3, who was the number 10 scoring fantasy wide receiver?
Alan Hopkins.
No. Alan Lazard.
Dang.
You believe it? You never would have guessed that, right?
Never.
You got it wrong. So Alan Lazard, he was pretty good out of the gate. 4 for 63 and a touchdown, 3 for 45, and 6 for 146. And a touchdown are his stat lines this season. He has delivered opposite Adams when he's been healthy. Maybe that breakout is going to happen this year now that he's back, hopefully back on the field. So, yeah, I think he's a flex option if he goes.
I think it'd be smart to check your waiver wire to see if he is still available.
Good call.
Packers defense, 85% available. They've been bad. They've been so bad. But perhaps they can take advantage of a 4-game slate. Tonight, San Francisco. Next week, Jacksonville. At Indy. Indy has been very good defensively, not quite as great offensively. And then the Bears. Maybe the Packers can get things right.
Oh, start Devontae Adams. Don't forget that.
Do we Do we need to?
That's my hot take.
Is there a breaking news sound? Do we need to?
Sure.
Did you file that yet or no? To the news desk?
I didn't send that yet. Okay. I was holding that. I'm just announcing that now.
What's the most targets ever in a game for a wide receiver?
92. Didn't T.O. have like a 28 in that game? He had 22 was catches.
That? Yeah, that
Remember,
sounds right.
Brandon Marshall, yeah. Like catches.
Is there any chance we could get there without any actual running backs
possible.
On this team?
It is possible.
Maybe.
28 is the record.
28 is the record. Confirmed. Good job, Kyle. Wow. Stefania, let's get to your San Francisco 49ers. as we know, there are a lot of
I laugh to keep from crying.
We have time for all the injuries.
No, we don't. Jeez. But just rip through the ones that you think are most pertinent tonight.
Well, I think, there's nobody that you can really recognize on the team. I think if you saw my tweet yesterday, there is not one player who touched the ball in that January game you referenced, Field, who will be available to touch the ball tonight. So a whole bunch of replacements, including Nick Mullins at quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo is essentially done for the year with what they're calling a whole new high ankle sprain. Same ankle as the first one, but slightly different location. Worse than the first. Surgery's in the conversation. I would just assume that you're not going to see him again this year. George Kittle, there is an update in terms of the nature of the injury. Remember, we referenced a foot fracture. You tend to think of Jones fractures. Those are so common. But in his case, it's a cuboid fracture, which is in the middle of the foot. And while that will heal itself, you need to rest it for ample time to allow that bone to heal so it doesn't become a problem that could be career threatening. I do have my favorite quote of the week so far, which was Kyle Shanahan talking to reporters. And when asked about Kittle's time frame, said, "I think they told me 8 weeks. Kittle says two, but that's how he rolls. But 8 weeks is 8 weeks." So I love the enthusiasm, George Kittle, but he's not going to be back. We already mentioned Brandon Ayuk out on the close contact list with Kendrick Bourne out as well. And Jordan Reed has been on injured reserve with a knee issue. Shanahan said he hoped to have him back in this game, but he was still only limited doing work on Tuesday. I'm not convinced that he will play tonight, but it still remains a possibility that could activate him before the game. Otherwise, Ross Dwelly is your starting tight end.
There you have it. So let's start with the running backs. Mike, are you confident in starting either Jamichael Hasty or Jerick McKinnon tonight?
Yes. Love Hasty. Liked his profile coming into the league. Check this out. 49ers running backs as a group, number one in fantasy points in the NFL this season.
That's good.
Green Bay Packers, most fantasy points allowed to running backs. Without getting too in-depth, they have really struggled. They've allowed a ton of production in every game. No good games. All of them have been bad so far. I actually think Hasty could come through with a huge one here.
And you've got Jerick McKinnon inside your top 21 as well. So potentially two backs that have some use tonight for the 49ers. All of us across the board prefer Jamichael Hasty, who found the end zone last week. The 49ers will be without Trent Williams, their star left tackle. But if there is a team that has continued to run the football no matter what obstacles have been presented their way, it is San Francisco. Is there a dart throw wide receiver that you would consider starting tonight?
I mean, I hope Kevin White is a big game. That'd be awesome, right? If they
awesome.
Bring him up, that'd be awesome. Yeah, it's here. Check out the receivers. Trent Taylor, Richie James, who's beat up right now. Kevin White on the practice squad. River Craycraft on the practice squad. Chris Finke on the practice squad right now. That's their situation. I think Trent Taylor in a super deep PPR, if you're desperate, I would rather not.
Jordan Reed probably is the pass catcher then. Assuming he is activated tonight, he probably is the pass catcher for the 49ers that you have the most familiarity with and probably the most confidence.
Picked him up on a ton of waiver wires this week. He could be a top five fantasy tight end going forward. It's very possible. 8 targets, 7 catches, 50 yards, 2 touchdowns in week 2 in place of Kittle.
By the way, the idea is not that we think that Jordan Reed is a lock to lead the team in receiving yards or receptions. It's that, you know, if Jordan Reed gets you, let's just say, for example, 5 for 61, 11.1 points, that might put him inside the top 10 of tight ends for the week. Whereas if you got 5 for 61 at a Trent Taylor, for example, that's still going to end up probably as like wide receiver 37 for the week. So given the lack of depth at tight end, Jordan Reed could be on your radar. Pick the game, Daniel.
Just going to say, let's pick this game, Field.
All right. Stefania, can you earmuff for a second?
Look, I've been beaten down so much by this season that nothing can hurt me anymore. Okay. It's okay. I would take the Packers.
Okay, I'll take the Packers as well. If Stefania says I can, Mike, who you taking?
I think this is going to be closer than people think. Yeah.
Wow.
I do. I think I actually would have picked the 49ers if not for the recent injuries and COVID issues. 24-23 Packers. One really quick nugget. The 49ers are averaging more offensive touchdowns per game than they did last year. They're also allowing fewer touchdowns per game than they did last year. Pretty crazy, right?
Hard to football believe. Is weird. All right, so I got the
Trent
Packers.
Williams also out for this game on the COVID-19 list.
Stefania, you're picking the Packers, what you're saying?
Because
it's a win-win. If you I'm going to just get
try,
right,
I'm
going to
pull
win.
A Matthew
wrong,
and try and reverse jinx. Right, it's a win-win, right? It's a win. It's going to be painful to even watch this game. I actually don't know. If you're Kyle Shanahan, how do you prepare?
Daniel?
As the expert for the streak this month, I have chosen the Packers.
Boy, they're digging deep into the well, are they?
Whoa, Stefania!
Hey,
top what? Rope.
Digging deep into the well.
She's not
that.
Wrong.
Remember how you put that cone in my spot yesterday?
It was you, I swear. You had the really nice reflective whites on with the orange, right? I swear.
So, expert, what do you say?
I'm taking the Packers. That's an that's
took
an expert,
an expert
opinion
you
right
went
there.
Out on a limb. Okay.
Do you want? Should we close the show?
Let's do one. Let's do one trivia question
to close out the
oh my
show.
Gosh,
we only have one trivia question.
Forever.
What do you got, Kyle? As we say goodbye, in just a few moments.
Packers, Niners tonight. I want you to tell me which team has the most players with 300 or more receiving yards this year. Not a high threshold.
So we only have two teams.
Yeah. Right, 50-50. It's Matthew kind of trivia.
I will go with the Packers.
Yeah.
The Packers are the obvious answer, right? So it's right. 49ers, right?
Mike Clay, you are in my head. You got this. The 49ers have three. The Packers only have two.
Wow.
Who has so who is Kendrick it? I got Bourne. Debo Samuel.
No, Debo missed some time, right? Bourne?
Yeah. But yeah, didn't he have
Brandon
one
Ayuk,
big game?
Kendrick
Ayuk
Bourne, and Kittle.
Ayuk?
Kittle. And Kittle, yeah.
Oh, Kittle.
By the way, Ross Dwelly will probably score the game-winning touchdown tonight for the 49ers to win. In homage to Matthew, the tight end lover. We are back on Friday for all sorts of previews of Week 9 action. For Mike and Stefania and Daniel, I am Field back tomorrow. Talk to you guys then. Good luck tonight. Peace out.
Not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you, a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.